I'd be Mr. Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Ashburn. Every Thursday we get the coordinators. You just finished listening to Joe Witt. Let's go out to Ashburn and check out Cliff Kingsbury.
You obviously spent a good bit of time with Caleb. I mean, I know you're coaching, you know, to face the defense, but what did you take from your time with Caleb, and what have you seen from him so far at the pro level?
Yeah, tremendous person, competitor, you know, freaky talent, you know, watching the stuff you do in practice and in the games, his ability, his feel, really, really special. I mean, he's going to be one of the top guys in the league for a lot of years. And so that was cool to get to spend time with him last year.
You also interviewed for the Bears OC job. What was that experience like?
I'll just not going to get into that. Yeah, sorry.
What do you make of Eberflus's defense? And have you seen him evolve recently at all?
You know, not being there division, I hadn't seen it a ton, but from what I remember, seems to be more, you know, post safety than it was, and very talented group, you know, the personnel on that side of the ball. They've really done a good job putting that thing together. They play hard, they play sound, and they don't make many mistakes, so you got to earn everything against them.
Kind of a specific one, what is the difference between zone read and read option?
That's a great question. I don't even know. I don't even know. I should probably know, but I know zone read. I don't know what zone option is. Yeah.
When you were at USA, I guess Caleb said that part of what you were doing there is helping him kind of get ready to prepare for the NFL. So on a daily basis, what were some of the things that you were doing with him to help in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of a resource there as much as I could be. You know, that was the good thing. Lincoln allowed me to be the good cop, and any knowledge, anything I could share, particularly with him, and we all knew where he was going, and it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he'd be the first pick for a long time. So really just a resource in any way that I could be, helping him, trying to mentally prepare for the things that were ahead.
And then what kind of, like, how often would you meet with him, and then what things did you learn about him through that process?
Yeah, I was there, you know, all day, every day. I mean, I worked there, so all the meetings I was in, out of practice, so it was like being a full-time coach, just getting to do all the good stuff. And like I said, just a tremendous competitor, wants to be great, works at it, and just insane talent. You know, some of the freaky, like, Mahomes-type throws he can make, and the vision, extending plays, the things he can do, and throw off platform was really unique.
You've got a game to prepare for, but whether Jaden plays or not, that's still a part of your duties. How has that changed if he's with him not doing as much at the moment, I guess. How has that changed your responsibilities, or has that put more on other coaches to help him while you're helping Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, DQ set up a great plan. I won't get into the details of it, but just to make sure that, you know, both guys are getting enough reps and getting a comfort level with the plays we're going to have in, that they can go operate. You know, Marcus hadn't taken a snap with our offense in 68 days prior to the game, and came in and performed really at a high level and made a bunch of plays. So that was good to see, and it takes a unique person and player to do that. And so we feel really good about trying to get him some reps this week, and we're just going to take it from there.
And Ben Sinnott, Dan made the comment the other day, like, boy, you got to clearly throw in the ball all the time. It's catching a touchdown. Mm-hmm. How has he been progressing, and do you see this may be a start of him being even more involved than he has been to this point?
Yeah, definitely. His first catch was a touchdown, and the play was called Taylor Swift, so you can't really beat that to start your NFL scoring career. So he was stoked about it. But he's been getting better and better. I think the game's slowing down for him. He's a tremendous talent, can do a bunch of different things, whether it's run game, pass game, very physical. You know, was well coached at Kansas State, so understands the run game scheme at a high level for being a guy who can be involved as much as he is in the pass game. So we're excited about his future.
Do you have other pop stars and call plays after?
There's a bunch of them. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Uh-huh. But that's a good one. We'll use that again.
How long have you had a play named after Taylor Swift in your playbook? Is this new?
Yeah, this was new this year. So we probably carried it 3 weeks and just finally got to calling it.
I know you hate comparing quarterbacks, but how did coaching Caleb kind of prepare you for coaching Jaden in this offense?
Yeah, I think you take a little bit from every person along the way, and you find different things and try to figure out what makes them tick and what they do best, and then try to push things that way and tailor the offense towards that. And obviously Lincoln had had a tremendous amount of success with Caleb, so that was already in place and already set, and my deal there was really to help in any way I could. But I think just the competitive nature that he showed, I mean, he would want the ball in his hands in the biggest moments and almost to a fault sometimes where he'd kind of pass up maybe an easy check down to be like, hey, I can make a bigger play, or I'm going to get out and do this, because he's that big of a competitor. And it reminded me of the guy I had, you know, at Texas Tech, because it's some of the same stuff early on in his career doing that.
Early on in the season, Jaden took some hits, both inside the pocket and while rushing. But now that he's dealing with an injury, does that affect the way that you will plan to call plays for him, knowing that he's, you know, vulnerable?
Yeah, I think that's part of what we all have to figure out when it comes down to making the decision if he's going to play or not. It's like you want him to be able to play his game, but you want to almost protect him from himself at times, because he's going to play a certain way. I mean, the whole deal, he won't slide, won't do this. Like, he's a fearless competitor, and he's going to attack the moment. And so I think that's just collectively as an organization, we got to make sure that he's full throttle, can play the way he wants to play before we put him out there.
And I know it's something you guys have worked with and talked about, him sliding and protecting himself and all that. Is there any way for you to make that a bigger point, to make that a stronger message to him, considering now that he's dealing with an injury?
Yeah, the one in the game was tough, just because I think he thought he was going to outrun everybody, which he actually can do. So a lot of guys would have slid by that point, but I think he thought he was about to get out and go, and they kind of got him from behind, and it was a tough fall. But he's done a nice job finding the soft spot, and it's going to be a work in progress.
Hey, Coach, this offense has been flowing lately, but what are some of the key things that's standing out that you really like about what you're seeing from the offense at this moment?
Yeah, the biggest thing, two things, you know, ball security and the skill guys playing away from the football, playing without the ball. That's been a huge emphasis. We knew if we took care of the ball and we played hard away from the football and we transitioned to block when our teammates got the ball, that we'd have a chance to make a lot of plays, because we have some dynamic playmakers, and they bought in and have done that. And so guys are finishing plays down the field, they're finishing past the ball, and that's it gives you a greater margin for error when you're playing with that type of effort and that type of tempo.
Can you share why that play was named after Taylor Swift?
The tight ends came up with the name, so you'd have to ask them, but I think he must like Taylor Swift on like a deeper level.
You've worked with an unusual amount of very talented quarterbacks through your career. How has that kind of shaped how you think about building an offense?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I touched on it earlier. It's in this league and pretty much any league, if you don't have one of those top guys, you're good luck. You know, I mean, the years of the Ravens playing that great defense and Chicago 85 Bears, those don't exist. We know the league is pushed to make it an offensive league, and that's the entertainment value there. But you got to figure out what they do best and what their comfort level is with certain things, and then build it around that. And so that's what I've tried to do. You know, had a lot of mistakes over those years doing that, but at this point, I just make sure, first and foremost, they're doing stuff they're comfortable with. They can play at a high level, compete at a high level, and go out there and cut it loose and not have any type of hesitation when they're on the field.
What, if anything, changes for you this week if Marcus is the starter?
Just like I said, he's going to have some concepts that he maybe likes better or that Jaden wouldn't like, you know, and at the end of the week, we always talk through that with whoever's going to be playing. And the backup, we get his sheet as well and be like, hey, which plays do you really like? And they're always different, and so we'll just make sure we tailor it to concepts that he's big on and feels comfortable with and has gotten enough reps that he knows he can go out there and operate at a high level.
And then for Marcus, I mean, you said it was almost 70 days since he had mm-hmm. taken a rep. Were you almost surprised how well he ran everything?
No, just because I've seen the professionalism, I've seen the work he puts in, but you know, all those reps he was getting was just the scout team. You know, he's working the scout team, but you see the preparation. I saw how he operated in the spring, and it was basically like, hey, go do what you do. We weren't trying to hold him back or say, hey, play it safe. It was like, we're going to cut you loose, play fast, and go get after him. And that's what he does best, and I think he just embraced the moment. And he's only 30. He's still a tremendous talent, and yeah, I think his best football is still ahead of him. I've told him that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Cliff Kingsbury talking there. I thought some pretty interesting stuff there, B. You know, just Kingsbury being honest that if Jaden does play, maybe we do need to figure out some ways to try to protect him a little bit more, because he's so fearless and he's such an intense competitor mm-hmm. that maybe there's something I can do or the staff can do. And I think...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's not always going to be an answer for that. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Because to your point, like, when he was asked about the play he got hurt on, it, was there anything he could do? And Cliff's like, he thought he was going to score a touchdown. I always want him to go try to score the touchdown. Yeah. And so there's not always something you can do, but you've got to be cognizant to work on it.
Yeah,
or try.
And I think the ultimate thing is, like, people who – they, I guess the people want to go into a game and never call any design runs for him. And I don't think that's going to happen. On that run, he was 50 yards down the field, okay?
Right.
The ultimate thing is maybe some of the ones that are when they're looking for it, you don't call it. But what if he drops back for a pass and nobody's open, he takes off running in? That's not on the coach. But he said it's a work in progress. But I just think at that point, like, he thought he was going to go. You could see him trying to stiff the guy from behind him. Then he just goes down, and the guy came right down on him. That's how he got hurt. It wasn't that he was trying to do something stupid or run over somebody. He thought, I'm going to slide here and protect myself. And the guy was too close for the ref to even much call a flag on it. And it just happened to be a bad situation. So I think what we got to do is just learn that got a special guy. He's going to do some things that the statue quarterback doesn't do.
Right.
Pat Mahomes does a lot of the same stuff, run and do all kind of little things. You watch him in a game the other day getting ready to go out of bounds. Oh, I'm not going. He stayed in the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's going to be different things that are going to happen, and we can't be so sensitive where every time he gets touched, we're going to be worried about something.
Yeah.
This is tackle football. It's not touch. It's not flag.
I think you're right. I mean, it's a very interesting situation, and obviously a lot is going to unfold over time, but, like, nothing – there's not a lot they could have done on that play – any differently. You know what I mean? I think but I just appreciate that Kingsbury is honest on that. He's like, yeah, the kid is so fearless. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got to try to think about what we can do, and that's part of their thought process in making the decisions if he could play this week. I think Cliff will definitely be part of that decision-making process.
Yeah.
I also thought it was pretty important that he's like, yeah, nothing changes if we have to go to Mariota. And I mean, just think about the coaching points here when, you know, they have a sheet for the backups.
Yeah.
And we were told the backups don't get any work for a while there, you know? Like,
I mean, they may not get the actual work, but they also know what they like better. And, like, when the backups are working against the defense, you know, they get some work and they know what they like. You know, let's say, like you said, Jaden may like one concept, Marcus Rock another concept. I think that makes a lot of damn sense, because what if something happens on the first play of the game to your starter or the second play? You go to your backup, what you trying to do, figure it out? This is doing a little bit Joe Gibbs like. I'm planning ahead. You know what I mean? I respect the hell out of that.
I think you gotta be impressed by the staff. Yeah. So I just think it's funny, this one tweet that has kind of gone viral is all over the place. Lanville, I think you dropped it in the other day. This dude, you know, the freezing cold takes guy. So this guy, I guess, is like a fantasy football expert or whatever. And he tweeted out back in March. Ready? Commanders are having one of the worst off seasons I can recall from a new regime. Zach Ertz, Austin Ekeler, and Bobby Wagner as marquee signings. Retread head coach Dan Quinn, who was far from first choice, and ask backwards Kingsbury at offensive coordinator. Cherry on top will be if they pass on May for Daniels.
That's the guy. That's when I put the comment. I say that is why that people are so ignorant when it comes to football. They just speak. They try to do these things to get a little rise and things like that. That dude don't know what the hell he was talking about. Denny, they don't know what the hell he's talking about now.
Well, do you know what he's saying now?
What?
This is the same dude. Kev Masarijan, and all he wants is attention, clearly. He says, Commanders are 5-2 but won't make the playoffs because they've had one of the league's easiest schedules to start. Regression comes for everyone. This is a bad team that will show its ass.
Well, just in case. See, if they happen to mess up, you know, I said it. Nobody else did. But if they don't, guess what I do? I just say something else.
Right.
We know people like that.
Yeah.
They never, ever admit they're wrong. They always try to keep ahead by saying something else asinine and stupid.
Well, perhaps we can offer some advice to the people that are asinine and stupid. On Thursdays, we get together and we have a segment called Bleep You Thursday.
Mm-hmm. You want to bleep them?
Yeah. Frankly,
bleep that dude.
Bleep that guy.
Yeah,
Roto Surgeon is his Twitter. If you want to, say bleep you to him directly via the social media. But this is your chance to say whatever you want, baby. 800-636-1067 800-636-1067 If you got anything to get off your chest, if you have been wronged in any way. You got options, man. You got options. And I think right now is the time to get it off your chest. It's funny, dude. All the stuff Cliff said there that I thought was quite important, you know this Taylor Swift thing is going to be all anybody cares about.
Yeah, I can care less.
Did you guys have weird play calls? Yeah. Like names?
We name stuff after anything. If they were in a certain car when they named it, they'll name it after that car. You know, it doesn't make a difference. And it's probably the same play somebody else running that they call Robert, Larry, 478, whatever. They just put a name on it. It's easy to remember, one name. Call the personnel group and boom, Taylor Swift.
Sure.
They know what's happening.
Right. And apparently the tight ends came up with that name.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff's not sure why. And they also have a play called Kelsey. But not specific to Travis or Jason, just Kelsey.
Who else is? It may not be specific to them, but you know what? They had something to do with it.
I don't think the list of dudes that could pull Taylor from Kelsey is that long. But I almost wonder if Cliff's one of them. That's a smooth dude, man. He seems like he does all right for himself.
I don't think Kelsey worried about that.
Who's on the list of dudes Kelsey is worried about?
Probably nobody.
Tom Cruise?
I think guys have to have the mindset, listen, bro, if she want to leave, you can't stop her.
Tom Cruise?
I guess.
It's probably some soccer players.
Tom old as hell.
He is
Tom
old.
Somebody in the 60-something.
Yeah, it's probably like some young actor we're not even familiar
but
with.
But I think when you're confident, you don't think about nobody else. You just think about what you do. You try to be the best you can be.
Be the best you can be.
Yeah.
When we come back, phone lines open. It is Bleep You Thursday coming up at 1 o'clock, Clay Harbor, 1:45, Peanut Tillman. Nobody go anywhere.